You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
When I was in high school, I played a great deal of competitive sports. And, you know, sometimes when you're in sports, you skip a meal to play your game and all that. But, you know, for a little while, I had this severe pain for weeks before my parents took me to the doctor. Now, I got an upper GI radiographic study, which involved drinking a strawberry-flavored barium drink, which actually was god-awful. And then what they said, the doctor said that what I ended up having was a stomach, actual ulcer, an ulceration of my stomach. They also found what was called a hiatal hernia. A hiatal hernia, which basically means that your stomach is butting up against your diaphragm and it's going up into the esophagus so that through the hole of the sphincter, which caused a reflux condition. All they did do it was give me, you know, the drug called Tagamet back then. That was like the miracle drug, you know, because it just came out in the 70s. And they really didn't give me any information about what the root cause of this acid reflux and the ulceration was about. So today on Wellness for Life Radio, we have a chiropractic physician, Dr. Jason Pikin, who's also a certified nutrition specialist. He's the best-selling author of Better, 11 Simple Habits to Improve Your Life. Now he's here to share some details about acid reflux and how to get rid of it all the natural way. So great to have you here, Dr. Jason.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Suzanne.
Awesome. So let's talk about what is acid reflux. You know, a lot of people deal with it. They think it's just a normal part of indigestion. You know, how do we know we have it, and what is it?
Yeah, I agree with you that so many people think it's normal to have this reflux. There are so many commercials on TV that for drugs that, you know, address acid reflux symptoms, and people see this so often that they think it's almost a normal part of life, or that burping, belching, and feeling in their throat is almost acceptable, and it really isn't. Like any other symptom, it's a signal that you should check out to find out why it's happening. And what reflux is when you've swallowed your food, the contents themselves either come back up in some sort of way, or you've popped open a little sphincter that separates your esophagus, where you swallowed the tube where you swallow your food down, and your stomach, and some of that acid that's needed to break down your foods is starting to escape.
Well,
refluxing back.
That's right. You know, what I said earlier was about the drug Tagamet that was, and I'm not here to bash drugs at all. What I'm here is just, that's the only thing they had for me back then.
Right.
So that's what we have you here on Wellness for Life, because we want to know about all of the natural ways. But the acid is super important. I'm a big believer. We need that acid. We need that acid for protein digestion. We need that acid to kill the microbes that we eat every day. So tell us about the acid and how it can actually harm us if we don't control it properly.
Well, you nailed it with those two examples perfectly. Our body innately produces this acid for a reason, and it's actually extremely rare that our body will produce too much acid. It's actually producing what it thinks it needs in order to do its job. And the problem is that acid is not staying where it should. Okay, and one of the biggest reasons behind why people have the symptoms of acid reflux, why it escapes out of the stomach where it's supposed to be, is because, one, either we're producing too little acid. In severe cases, it's called achlorhydria, where you're not producing enough stomach acid. And so when you put food into your stomach, there's not enough acid to break it down, and it just kind of sits there for too long. And especially if you overeat, like a lot of people do, and have this big, gigantic, large meal, you don't have enough acid to break it down, and you change positions, you lay down, or those late-night eaters that lay down right after they eat, well, some of that food can just kind of escape back because it's not being broken down into a liquid form, so it can pass through into the small intestine. The second reason is that there is a structural problem. There is actually a mechanical problem with the valve. It's called the lower esophageal sphincter. It's a little valve that separates your esophagus from your stomach, and it can be weakened because of a low amount of acid in your stomach, and also because of other structural issues. Even our posture can have a major impact on how we carry ourselves and that shape of the valve, the strength of our diaphragm, which is a muscle we use to breathe, but it also helps to separate the esophagus from the stomach. And there's lots of reasons why the diaphragm will be stressed, either, again, from our posture or from other irritations in our nervous system coming even from our neck.
I love the fact that you're talking about the structure. You know, a lot of times we just talk about the nutrition here and the biochemistry and all that, but I'm a big believer, as a chiropractor, you and I are very much also expert on structural health. And the thing that I learned in chiropractic school, one of the electives that I learned was on visceral manipulation. I don't know, I'm sure you know about what visceral manipulation is. And basically viscera means your organs. And we learned how to manipulate the organs and pull that stomach down, separating it from that diaphragm and activating your sphincter to be able to close up properly and open up when it's supposed to, which is when you're eating, obviously, but close up when you're not eating. And the chiropractors are the best people who know how to do those treatments.
Yes. If you find somebody that understands the function of the diaphragm and is really aware of these diaphragm manipulations, it's fantastic. You can get such relief just from the diaphragm alone. Yet that's, you know, one piece, and there are so many other, you know, mechanical things that can be addressed. But that's a major one.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So, you know, we addressed, we talked about the common symptom of taking antacids and pills. And, you know, obviously, we don't want to use them. Isn't that correct? If we can help it.
Well, listen, I think you'll agree where there's no absolutes. Sometimes there's like such bad acid and there's such bad irritation where drugs can always be needed. Even if you do take medications, what you want to do is then start asking yourself the questions, why did I need this medicine in the first place? And can I do something to get off of it? And so when you look at the reasons why you don't have that acid production, I mentioned that besides the mechanical, that's one of the primary chemical reasons why you have acid reflux. You want to look into, hey, do I have enough acid production, and is it caused by a lack of zinc and a lack of B12? Those are the two most common nutrient deficiencies or insufficiencies, and those are caused by improper diet or maybe other gut microbial issues like H. pylori or SIBO.
You know, let's go a little bit about H. pylori, because I treat that also in my practice, and it's much more prevalent than people understand. Even if you do the lab test, you know, the basic lab test is through what the mainstream doctors do is through blood test, looking for the antibodies for H. pylori. But I find that often it's not even there. But the symptoms are clear that, you know, they're having some form of bacterial infection in the gut. Also, I find that fungal infections can cause the same thing. And fermentation can occur within the stomach as well.
Yes, yeasts are another, your candida are a huge other cause of chronic digestive symptoms in general, and they're not always the easiest to test for. I love testing, yet sometimes you just have to go with your quote-unquote gut. If you really understand a patient and learned what they've already tried, then you can do some, I'd say, I hate using the word experimentation, because it makes it sound like we're guessing, but we're not. We're making educated assessments based upon what patients have done and what they're experiencing. And at least we know it's extraordinarily safe to do these either food or supplement experiments as long as you're dealing with somebody that knows what they're doing.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is, as practitioners, it's really through experience and practicing that gives us our expertise and our, you know, medical sense, which direction to take each patient. So tell us about how if there was, let's say, a gut microbial indication, what would you do? What would be the first thing you would do for them?
Well, I believe that every single chronic problem that walks into my office pretty much is a gut problem. as their primary. Anybody that doesn't get better in a few days has gut issues that are involved the vast majority of the time. And so what I do is a protocol most often is a 4-R protocol. Unless they've tried tons of other things before, then we go into lab testing. And I'd rather go through the protocol first because most people haven't gone through that. And what a 4-R protocol means is that we're taking 4 general steps. Each practitioner might have their own special supplement or group of supplements that they like to use as their go-to. What I do is put them through this program. The R's stand for first, remove. First, you want to find out what you may be needing to kill off in the gut, whether it's a yeast or a bacteria or a virus, and you want to give antimicrobial supplement support. And there's lots of choices for that. Personally, I do a lot of applied kinesiology, which is a biofeedback tool, muscle testing, in order to determine what patients need. The next R is restoring digestive enzymes. Most of these people with gut issues aren't producing the right enzymes needed to break down their foods, and so their body is reacting poorly with symptoms. So we have a broad spectrum of digestive enzymes, and we try different things with different people based upon what their symptoms are. That helps the body to do the work of the body, actually, makes it easier for them to digest. The next R is re-inoculate, meaning you're going to re-inoculate the body with probiotics, good, friendly bacteria that belong in the gut, and sometimes probiotic yeasts also, not just bacteria. And these are, people have heard of them, probiotics. There's Lactobacillus acidophilus and Bifidobacterium. And what we want to do is, again, we can experiment or we can actually do some testing of the stool to find out what probiotics they need. And the last one is repair, the last R. A repair is usually using a bunch of different nutrients. The primary one is L-glutamine, which is an amino acid. A lot of times I use aloe and some licorice. And these are basically nutrients, herbs, or amino acids that soothe and heal the gut. So after you've gone through this battle of killing off bad bugs and restoring digestive enzymes and re-inoculating the gut with some good friendly guys, you want to soothe and heal after the battle.
Right. You know, I did ask you the question, how do we work with microbials? But I'll tell you, your 4R is what most of the functional medicine doctors work with. And it can also be not just for bugs, but for allergies and food allergies. So removing foods, known foods that you might be sensitive to, such as gluten and dairy. I wrote a lot about that in my 7-Day Allergy Makeover book, that certain foods that our body's sensitive to can also cause a great deal of reflux, correct?
Absolutely. It can come from the bugs, microbes, or it can come from the body itself overreacting to what should be considered a food sensitivity,
right,
or a food allergy.
Right, right. Also, you know, when I mentioned about myself having reflux and the ulcer, I was super athletic and I played hard. Like, I was under a great deal of stress. And I believe for me, a big part of that was the fact that not only did I eat the wrong foods, you know, but it was the actual mental and emotional stress coming from my being a super athlete. So let's talk a little bit about how reflux can be caused by that.
Sure. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a major player. Every problem has a physical and a chemical and an emotional component. And really the basics, if we're just going to give the most general concept of how stress affects the body negatively, especially the digestive system, is you just have to get to the concept of sympathetic, parasympathetic. And I don't like using those big words, you know, in the short period of time, but in really to dumb them down and make them simple, you have two halves of your nervous system, the sympathetic system, which is like, you can say it's fight or flight, or it's get up and go and get your stuff done for the day. Anytime you're active, you're in sympathetic mode. And parasympathetic mode is the opposite. It's resting, sleeping, healing, immune system function, and digestion. And those nervous systems don't work at the same time. They work as individuals. When you're doing one, you're not doing the other. So So this is why we need to, after an active day, we need to rest and sleep and heal. And why, when we're digesting, we should give us time, ourselves time to digest our foods for an hour or two. Now,
who does that?
I don't do that. Yeah. I do it sometimes when I can. But very often, especially if you're a young, really physically active, determined to get so much out of their lives person, you're not giving yourself time to digest. And if you're in a sympathetic dominant state, even if you're they're good stresses like exercise, if you don't give yourself enough time to rest and heal, you can wind up with some symptoms.
Right, yeah, and reflux is one of them.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and go dive a little bit deeper. We talked about doing the four R's. We even talked about manipulation, and because sometimes you actually need a structural help so that we can drop that stomach down, close up that that sphincter. What else can we do?
Well, getting back to structural, one thing that I find is that there's something that's not being addressed by a lot of people, and it ties in the emotional too, and it's really looking to the jaw and the neck. And these are structural things. A lot of chiropractors will address them, but sometimes people don't think about their jaw. So the story I use is when we are dealing with too much stress, very often people will clench their teeth. Sometimes they're only doing it at night, and so they don't even realize it. But they're, you know, whoever they're sleeping next to, their partner might notice that they're grinding it, or their dentist might have given them feedback that their teeth are wearing down. But if you just even wake up with tension in your jaw, you might know that you're clenching your teeth because of, again, usually the stress reaction. Well, the jaw is one of the most important joints in the entire human body, because if you think of it, if it doesn't work right, you don't eat, and you die. So the innate intelligence of our body will protect us by compensating for that jaw imbalance, compensating for that misalignment by actually misaligning neck muscles, tweaking our neck out of alignment to try to compensate and realign our jaw. Because we can literally suffer with a neck issue, we got to have our jaw moving properly. And where that neck gets disturbed most often is right in the middle of the neck, the three middle bones, which innervate or send nerve impulses to your diaphragm, getting back to that diaphragm again. So it could be an emotional stress causing jaw tension. A slight imbalance in the jaw can cause neck and nerve problems going back to the diaphragm. So even if you get the diaphragm released, even if you get your neck released, sometimes you also have to check the jaw. And I find this is a big missing pattern in a lot of people that have been to some great other doctors and had a lot of great work done. And I like to say it anytime I'm asked, because it's a missing piece of the puzzle.
Such a great insight. You know, I actually have to wear a night guard because I'm a big, big clencher. And some of the reasons had to do with actually my tongue itself. I was born with a tongue tie.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jason, you know what that is, right? And I actually had it clipped as an adult. As an adult, yeah. I don't talk about it much because, I mean, it's a personal thing, but I'll tell you what, it sure helped my jaw and my clenching and my neck muscles. I mean, I was blown away by the release of getting my tongue tie released. There's very special doctors who know how to do this properly. Most of them are dentists and oral maxillofacial surgeons. And that's what I had to do. I had to go to a surgeon who could do this properly for me. But so fascinating that you mentioned about the jaw. And sometimes it has to do with your tongue.
Yeah, and it could be why at such a young age that you developed this reflux. Because
Correct.
It's not common in kids as much as it is, you know, in your 30s and 40s where it develops.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know what, though, Dr. Jason, I lived in a third world country at the time. I was born in Korea. And back then, you know, the water was just horrific. And we would have to boil our water all day long, boil, boil, boil. It was one of our rituals as a family because there were so much bad bugs in our water. So I'm sure I got a lot of the bad bugs. I mean, part of it was from drinking bad water.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely, that's why I got to know history.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I really would love to talk to you about your book. You better, BETTER, 11 Simple Habits to Improve Your Life. I took a look at your book. I always do research on my guests. And I took a look at your book, and I really loved the back part. I mean, often I just go to the first, and then I go into the back part, just getting some of the appendix, you know, resources and all that.
Right.
And you have a great list of rules. And these rules are so simple but profound rules. These are rules that I teach my patients. I have a whole list of them, too, that I give out. And so much of what you and I talk about are in the right alignment of what it is to have optimal health. And can you just give us some of your great rules here that's in your book, Better?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them. And really, they're all based upon principles rather than, you know, I guess, solid rules. They're principles that work for everybody. And I guess my favorites are how to start your day, because I believe that whatever ritual or rule you're going to create, the morning ritual is one of the most vital for how you're going to carry yourself the whole rest of your day. So I personally start my day getting my mind straight. And these are the little rules or the rituals that I do. I do start off my, you know, first waking moments with a prayer. And that's, you know, a touchy subject because not everybody's going to want to do that. But if you don't like that, that's okay. Next, what I do is I write down 3 to 7 things that I'm grateful for every single morning. And I used to just say them to myself, but I found it even more powerful writing them down. And I don't just write down the same things over and over again, because I could say I'm grateful for my kids, my wife, my house, my dog. I have to come up with different versions of why I love my kid, my house, my wife, and the dogs. An example. And I don't stop writing until I feel actual that I'm in a grateful state. So whatever I may have woken up with, negative emotion-wise, is gone. Those are 2 of them. I move into meditation. And I believe everybody's got to move and exercise every moment they can.
I'm a big believer in movement. I have rituals every morning as well, you know, and I talk a lot about when I wake up, you know, my first thought is all about getting some sun immediately so I can wake my brain up. And prayer is awesome. And to me, prayer, it's not about like religion or, you know, it's really just about connecting with who you are.
Yeah.
And just thinking that, you know what, you've got another day, another good day here to work with and be of purpose and help people and do things that you just love to do. And I'm someone that I create a lot of action. And when I create action, that's when I feel good. So I'm going outside, being in the sun, drinking my green drink. And doing my BBT, I have a technique called body balancing technique that I created, combining Korean yoga, acupuncture. It's acupressure type of technique with the Shaolin Kung Fu Master information. I put it all together and I created a tapping technique called body balancing technique that people can get online. Yeah, and it just creates my day for, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for anything, you know? And you talking about one of your rules is making sure that you wake up and get out of the house. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's, some people can, you know, work from home. I recommend to those people also to just find an excuse, any excuse, to leave your house even for a few minutes. And just get outside and do something. I don't care if it's the dead of winter and you have to drive your car out to get your green tea somewhere else. But just, you know, getting yourself motivated with action is I'm totally in belief and with you on that.
Awesome. You also talk about supplements. You know, we didn't really go into supplements for reflux. I'd like to ask, what supplements do you use for people who've got reflux? Now, you mentioned licorice, and I'm thinking the deglycerized licorice?
Yes, deglycerized licorice. My, like, go-to formula is a mix of L-glutamine and supportive nutrients like zinc, B12, licorice, aloe. Just to throw out there's two products I use a lot. One is Glutagenics from Metagenics. It's a powder that has those things. And I use more often, I use something called Peptacade from QOL Labs, Quality of Life Labs. And I never believe there's a single solution for everybody, but these are, I call my 80 percenters. If I put, 80% of people, if I put everybody that has reflux on these two formulas, 80% of people are just going to feel better or have a huge reduction in symptoms just from those. And
awesome.
For the people that don't, there's always some, figuring out to do. Like, why didn't you respond like everybody else? And it's usually because there's another component along with the nutritional supplement.
Oh, great, great. Well, it's awesome having you here. I'm sorry that we are running out of time. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that they can go to Dr. Jason Piken, PIKEN.com, for more information about who you are, your practice, where it's located, I understand, and in the center of Manhattan in New York. And then also your book is available, Better 11 Simple Habits to Improve Your Life, on Amazon, both Kindle version as well as hard copy. Thank you so much, Dr. Piken. We'll see you next time. And until then, let's go out there and all live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.